Man, I know who holds the future because He lives. Isn't it wonderful to know that your future is in the hands of a just God? It's wonderful to know that God is alive and well, sitting on the right hand of His Father. It's good to be here this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you. It's good to know that God has lengthened out our lives and gave us another opportunity that we may come out and serve Him in spirit and in truth. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Let us remember to keep praying for one another. Let us remember that we must pray for one another because the Bible tells us to. And that's all we need to know about it. Questions over, answers completed. Because we are told to in His Word. This morning the Scripture was read for your hearing from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and verse number 14. We'll revisit that in a few moments. But let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. O Lord, our gracious God, we have been blessed once again. You have blessed us to come out and serve Thee in spirit and in truth. You called our name this morning and allowed our eyes to be lifted up, the eyelids to be lifted up. You allowed us to be still in the land of the living. And for this we are eternally grateful. Father, we thank You for letting us rest on last night. But more important than that, when You got us up, You made us, prepared us to get ready that we may come from our house to Your house. Thank You, Lord. Father, we pray this morning for those among us that are sick and shut in, especially those who are members of the household of faith. We continue to pray as our list continue to grow of those who are not doing as well as they would like to be or as well as they know that they should be. But nevertheless, Father, that is Your will. Father, we have lost some along the way, and we pray for those families of those who have lost loved ones. We pray for Sister Wilson, we pray for Sister Martin, and we pray for the McFarland family who have lost loved ones in this past week or two. And we just ask You, O Lord, to give them strength and give them the ability to realize that there was no mistake made, but that You are just a loving God who knows what He is doing, and we must trust in Your wisdom since we can't do anything but that. Father, we thank You and we pray for the leaders in our congregation this morning. We pray for them and their families that they may continue to be leaders and continue to serve and do Your will, O Lord, and teach the church on and guide the church on which way they should go. We pray and thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those who are married together and living together as one, O Lord. We thank You that Your Word has told us that marriage makes us one and separates us from being two any longer. We pray for those who are married and raising children. We pray and ask You, O Heavenly Father, to guide and guard them and give them the strength they need to continue on. We thank You, O Heavenly Father, that Your will has been done for each and every one of us for this morning, at least anyway. And we're just praying, O Lord, that we would be able to continue this entire day. We thank You for the weather, whether it's good or bad. We thank You just the same. Whether it's sunny or rainy, we thank You because it's Your weather to give and ours to receive, O Lord. Father, we pray for all those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, that they and their families may continue to be blessed, O Lord, and they may bring strength unto one another. Thank You, O Heavenly Father, for those that are once again are unable to be here with us because of illness. Father, we thank You for those who still may be on their way this morning, that if it be Your will, You would give them the grace and the time and mercy to get here and be safe and secure. We pray for those who may be traveling, O Lord. We pray that they would have safe passage to and from their destination. We thank You, O blessed Heavenly Father, for all of those who serve our needs when we call upon them, O Lord. We thank You for everybody under the sound of my voice and for those who have not decided to be out and to be a part of this services this morning. We pray for them as well. We thank you for everything you've done for us, Lord, and may we ask that you continue to bless us as you see fit. And it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, that we continue to pray and ask all these blessings, because he mounted the cross, hung there, died, bled and died for our behalf. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything you do for us. It is in your Son, Jesus' name, that we ask all these blessings and more. Let us say, amen. This morning, this might be considered your year-end review for 2013. This morning, we want to talk from Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We want to speak from a subject looking ahead to next year. Here we are again at the same time of the year, the same ending of another year. This time last year, some of us made a promise to do better by God, by the church, and to even do better by themselves, by getting themselves together. So the question becomes, what now? We are hopefully and prayerfully looking ahead to another year. So what and how do I start the year off right? First and foremost, we need to enter this new year coming up prayerfully and giving thanks to the Lord. It's not always easy to do that which we know is right to do. We face objections from those around us when we start our new and different journey in life. The only thing that I can say to those is this: if you're worried about what your friends are going to think about you because you decided to serve God, don't worry. For God is good, the church is right, and eternity is too long for us to take a chance. Therefore, we need to think long and hard about our decision. When we think about our decisions that we make for the new year, we always look back into the old year. And the scripture text tells us, if you look at verses number 3 and 4 in Philippians chapter 3, look what the scripture text tells us. It said, "Brethren, I count myself to have not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Look what he says in verse 14. "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So what should I do, preacher? Tell me how I can get my life together, how I can serve and be a better person in 2014. That's provided you live to make 2014. Certainly this is the last Sunday that we have in 2013, but that doesn't mean that we're all going to get to 2014. So we have to be prayerful and ask God, "If you allow me, Lord, to get to 2014, let me, help me to become a better person." I know I'm going to ask him. I hope that you are going to ask him. So what can you do? Well, I can attend church more. Far too many of us look for reasons not to attend church. And we often come up with reasons we feel are valid. And we say that the weather, we use the term, "The weather is too bad. I'm not coming out because it's too cold and I might get cold." Well, hell is going to be hot and you're going to get hot. And you won't be able to do anything about it. But some of us even say, we say that there are too many children in church, and some of the people, they just tend to get on my nerves, and I don't want my friends to know that I go to church. Finally, many won't go because they may think that they don't need the church. But I got some news for you. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, and I've quoted it so many times over and over again, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourself together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another." One. "And so much the more as you see the day approaching." You've got to come to church. Now, how can we exhort one another? And we need to, as Christians, lift one another up or exhort one another. My exhorting one another won't go very far when you're at church and I'm at home in the bed. That's not good exhortation. You're not exhorting one another then. So we look for these reasons and excuses not to go to church. "It's just too cold. My car may not start. I haven't tried it, but it may not start. It probably won't start now that I think about it. But then you say on Monday morning, I sure hate to get up, but guess what? You get up and you go off to work. Now, don't you, church? You don't have to say nothing. I know it's the truth. I know that when Monday morning rolls around, I used to dread Sunday evening, but thank God I don't work no more, and I'm proud of it. I like to see all of us in a position that we don't work. I'm able to wake up in the morning when God allows me to wake up, but I don't have to get up if I don't want to. So when I think about it, God is truly good. We must realize that time is drawing near to the day of the return of Jesus. We have been told that God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth, according to John chapter 4 and verse number 24. Now, what does that mean? That means we should not have to see God in order to worship God. How shall I give uplifting or exhortation to one another, especially those who have fallen, when I'm not even here at church myself? Some of us never even pick up the phone and call one another. Oh yeah, this is year end in review, because you were here at this point, so many of you last year, when you made those promises to do better next year. That next year is already here, and now we're waiting for the next year. And we still haven't changed, some of us. And I'm not talking about anybody in the congregation this morning. I'm just speaking, generally speaking. Even myself, I fell short on some things I owe to myself. So I'm not any different than you. So when I preach, I'm not only preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. So I gotta get myself together. We shouldn't, as I say, have to see God in order to worship Him or to give exhortation or uplifting. How can I tell them that Jesus is coming soon when I show them that apparently I don't care either? I'm not caring enough about myself to be in church. As Christians, we can draw from each other. Therefore, we need to be in the company of each other for fellowship, for strength, and most of all, for encouragement and love. I don't know about you, but my plans for the next year, if God allows me to get there, is to do better. Now, I don't know what your plans are, but if they don't include God in them, you need to reformulate and rethink your plan. Look what the text says once again. I count myself, not myself to apprehend it, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Now, I'm assuming that you are looking toward the future because you intend to have a future. But that's God's will, whether you will or you won't. So I ask you this morning, are you planning for a better tomorrow or a better next year than you had this last year? So what I suggest, and as I said for myself, I plan to meet Him at His house every Lord's Day, come rain or come shine, because I need to hear somebody's prayers. I need to hear somebody make songs and hymns unto Him. I need to hear somebody preach the Word. I need to hear somebody say how good God has been to them. And I need to partake of His body and His blood. And most of all, I need to give back to Him just as He has given unto me. Someone called me the other day, and I had a very lengthy conversation with this person. And she was telling me how good that God has been to her and her family. She said, I have not wanted for anything in life because God has always provided for me and my family's need. She didn't say she had everything that she wanted. She said God has provided for her family's need, just like He said, the Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse number 19. She said, I've been very sick, but God always pulled me through with the support of my church folk, and she has been very thankful and highly blessed by God, she said. Is God worthy for you to look ahead and serve Him? I think so. I think you need to look ahead and serve Him more faithfully next year, and I believe that He's worthy of our praises. Now, some of us, We sit around on New Year's Eve and we say things like, I'm going to watch the old year come in, old year go out and the new year come in. I've been looking for that for most of my life, and I've never seen a year come in and a year go. I've seen the year, the numbers change, but I've never seen anybody haul old year out and haul the new year in. But yet there are folk that sit up and say, I'm going to wait till new year come in. And then the media has fixed it so that they show the old man going out and the baby coming in. That's not the way God has done it for us. That's not the way God sees it. God, if He allows you to pass through from one year to another, you ought to be serving Him more faithfully and more prayerfully in the next year. So I can attend church more often. That's what I've told myself. And just in case you haven't been attending, you need to attend church more often. Number two, you can tell others about the church. Christ decided one day to become the builder of His church. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, He said, upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh yeah, this is a review for many of you. For all of us, as a matter of fact. This was after Peter answered a most important question in Matthew. Go over with me, if you will, over to Matthew chapter 16, starting around verse number 13. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 16 and 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I am, that I, the Son of Man, am? And they began to answer Him, and they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and other Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Then He said unto them, but whom do you say that I am? In other words, you're going to have to answer to Jesus for yourself. He's not going to take a group gathering and say, all of you in this group. He's going to ask you individually. So you got to understand, He asked them individually. He asked them, of whom do you say that I am? Not what others say. And then look at verse number 16. Simon Peter answered Him and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus seemed to be very pleased with that answer. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven. And then in verse number 18, but I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He wanted to hear what Peter had to say about it. And I suggest to you this morning, if you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to get in the only one and only church that God built. Jesus was pleased with that answer of Peter. And let us in this upcoming year tell others that Christ is the builder of His church. This is, as I said, the last Lord's Day of the year of 2013. I pray that all might try a little harder in 2014 to get closer to God. We can't do much about this past year, for it is already swiftly passing us. But if we are blessed enough to make it into next year, we have an opportunity to start the new year off with the Lord. I suggest that when Wednesday rolls around, that you drop on your knee, but don't wait till Wednesday, by the way, but just when Wednesday drops into our view, if we're still here, you need to thank God for allowing Him to help you, to letting you make it to the new year. If the church is ever going to grow, we must let others know about it. And while I'm here, let's talk a minute about the giving. Oh yeah, I have to talk about the giving. Some have given gifts to people of whom they call upon only once or twice a year. Yet they won't give as they should to the Lord of whom we should be calling upon each and every day of the year. Why not give a little extra back to the Lord, since He makes it possible for you to make it anyway? Let us go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1 and 2. It says, now concerning the collection for the saints, who, as I have given in order to the churches of Galatia, that even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week. And what day is it today? It's the first day of the week. The first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God has prospered him, that there be no gathering when I come. You know something? Some folk might not understand this, but each and every church that opens its doors, they have ongoing expenses that must be paid. They have ongoing expenses to make it comfortable for us, like heat, like air conditioning, like lights. And oh yeah, what about the Bibles that are in the pews, as well as the other expenses that we need to continue to lift up God and His kingdom? You know, the money that's collected is not for the leaders, it's not for me, it's for all of us. It's for the uplifting of God in His kingdom. So you need to make sure that you're giving as you have prospered. And by giving as you have prospered don't mean just one more dollar over the one you gave. I'm not going to tell you how much to give, but $1 won't cut it anymore. I know that God didn't just let you make that same $1 for the last 4 or 5 years. So you need to give as God has prospered you. So let us continue to try to tell somebody about the church and try to do better ourselves. Another thing we can do is, I can pray more. Oh yeah, there's nothing like prayer. There's nothing like prayer for God told us that we need to pray. Praying is one of those things that we talk about. Some do it, and others just talk about it. Some take the position, oh, I'll do it when something bad happens to come my way. If that's the way you viewed prayers in the past, you are not looking ahead. You are only looking behind. Looking behind says, I'm going to continue to do the same thing the way I used to do it all of the time. The way I did it last year. I'm going to continue on into the new year. But that's not the way to look at it. Look what the text says again. I'll remind you every now and then about the text says, brethren, I count myself not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. This is the part I want you to see. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before us, which are before. Then I think about it. Some say, I'll be out of my comfort zone. But if your comfort zone is the same in 2014 as your comfort zone was in 2013, and you wasn't doing right in 2013, guess what your comfort zone is going to be in 2014? It's going to be the same thing. So you need to get it together, and you need to don't make a resolution that you're only going to break. Make yourself something that's going to last throughout the year. Resolutions only last about 2 weeks, and then you lose them. Oh, I fell off the wagon. You never really got on the wagon. You just made some noise about it. But forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth for those things. And look what he says again in verse number 14. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So when I ask myself the question, can I pray any more than I already do? And the answer was, yes, I can. No matter how much you're praying, you can always pray more. You can always pray. There's always something to pray about. If you don't thank God for nothing but the breath that you just inhale and exhale, thank Him for that. So there's always something you can pray for. James 5 and 16 tells us to pray for one another. And if you're not clear, if you're not certain on how to pray for somebody, call somebody and just ask them. How do I pray for that person down the street that lives down the street from me that I know is sick, but I don't know what's wrong with it? How can I pray for him? Well, you don't have to pray specifically for his illness, but pray for him because he is sick. You don't need to know the illness. That's what I mean. Just pray for him because he is sick. And when it comes around to praying for others, you have to pray for the people that you don't even like. God said, pray, the Bible says, pray for your enemies also. Promising this new year you will give to yourself others is the greatest gift and the best gift of all, the most precious gift of the Lord. Give them the information about the Lord's church. Give them the information about the Lord as well as His church. This is the greatest gift. It's a gift that keeps on giving. You can never go wrong with the gift of God. teaching and telling others. It's the gift for all seasons. It has the right relationship with Jesus. Ephesians 5 and verse number 24. The church is subject unto Christ. It's the right color. In Isaiah chapter 2, verses number 2 and 3, the church was prophesied and that all nations shall flow unto it. So therefore I know that all colors are involved in it. So it's the right color. The gift is not expensive, for Jesus has paid for it already with His blood. It won't cost you very much at all. It will last through this life and into the life to come. And oh yes, it's always the right size because it's one size fits all. Isn't Jesus good, church? I tell you, God is good all the time. And when I think about it even more so, church, I think about how that God... They said to Caesar, let's give us Barabbas and we can hang Jesus, we can crucify Jesus. But I tell you something, when I thought about it a little more, I looked back and I pictured the cross in my mind. And I said to myself how wonderful it was that Jesus, they mounted Jesus on the cross. And when they mounted Him on the cross, somebody said, let's nail a nail into His hands. And then they said, let's nail the nails into His feet. And Jesus just hung there. He didn't say anything. He began to speak to His Father. He asked His Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me? But He died on yonder cross. When it comes to 2014, I think about it and I want to serve a living God. He is no longer dead. He got up out of the grave and went back to heaven to sit on the right hand of our Heavenly Father. We must learn to be recipients of what He has given us. Doesn't it make sense for us to give back to Him and to help others to know the gift, the greatest gift of all season? I'm wrapping it up, church. I just want you to know a couple more things this morning. I just want you to know that God is the best that there ever was. I want you to know that without God, we are nothing. Without God, there is no tomorrow. Without God, there is nothing that we can do but survive because we do have God. When I think about it, and I think about how wonderful it is that God has blessed us to get here this morning. You know, I don't know about next week, but I know about this morning. I got up this morning and you got up this morning, didn't you? If you didn't get up with church on your mind, you should have gotten up with church on your mind because it's the Lord's day. If you didn't get up with Jesus on your mind, you should have gotten up with Him on your mind. And the first thing you ought to do is, you should have done when you opened your eyes was to say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for lifting my eyelids open. I slept and slumbered and I didn't know where I was at. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know anything, Lord, but You stayed with me through the night. How wonderful You are, oh Lord. And then when you get up, thank Him again for allowing you to use those limbs. You know, sometimes the knees go bad. And when the knees go bad, you find yourself having a difficult time just waking up and putting it out, putting your feet out on the floor and putting your weight on your knee. But God has blessed you to have at least enough help in your knees that you are here today. Isn't that worthy of His being thanked for? So when I think about just how God has been good to us in 2013, yes, the news media always does a review back. They always look back at the people we've lost in 2013. But guess what? You're here and it's almost 2014. I'm here and it's almost 2014. Isn't it time we make a commitment to God and be a better Christian in the future than we have been in the past? I think it is. And by being a better Christian, I can tell others. I can pray for others. And I can attend church more. Isn't that what we ought to be doing, church? Isn't that something that we need to do? And I know there are many ways that people think that they can worship God, but according to Hebrews 10:25, you need to be here. The computer won't give you the same interaction that the church folk can give you. You can watch them, but you can't say nothing to them. You can listen to them and you can hear them, but you can't get involved with them. Here you can sing, you can hear somebody pray, you can hear somebody preach, you can hear somebody read a scripture, and then you can partake of His body and His blood. Then you can give. So just think about it, church. If God has blessed you all throughout this year of 2013, you need to bring 2014 in, not with a bang, not going out and shooting your gun up in there, but with a bang with Him, that you get on the right track with the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Bring in 2014 and let 2013 stay behind you. Look ahead to 2014. I know I am. It means we'll be getting another year older. I know that. We'll be getting closer, at least. For some of us, it may be that we'll be getting older in the first part of the year. For others of us, it'll mean that if we live throughout the year, we'll get older. But either way, ask God to guide and protect you. And how do I become a member of the Lord's church? Well, you become a member by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But somewhere in 2013, if 2013 didn't go right for you and you lost your way, you can ask God to forgive you and ask the church to pray for you, that you may gather strength to continue on in this life. God is good once again as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.